And so Bristol City are our winners with 28%. So congratulations. Next is which...
Sorry, Wigan won that, didn't they, from what I saw?
Did they?
I looked it up earlier. Oh, I'm sure.
Have I wrote the wrong ones in? Oh, no.
I'm just loading it up now. Sorry. I looked at the results earlier. I'm sure Wigan won it.
I can cut this bit.
Yeah, Wigan got 39.
Oh, there's no three. Okay, sorry. When I copied and pasted it, I mustn't have got the three. Alright, so I'll do that again.
Beckham into Sheringham, and Solskjaer has done it!
Leicester City have won the Premier League.
Goals against Emil Heskey. Could it be five? Yes, it is!
Frank de Boer singing out Dennis Bergkamp. Oh, that's brilliant! Oh, that's wonderful! That is a magnificent goal!
Balotelli, Aguero!
Hello and welcome to the VT Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin, and join me this week up Peter Prickett.
Hi, everyone.
And Anthony Kendrick.
Hello, good evening.
You work well, lads?
Yeah, decent, thanks.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Yeah.
Nice to have you back on the show, Chris.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, I'm just confused for a moment. I don't know who's actually hosting.
Me.
Which one's the host?
Chris.
We all bow down to Chris. I just deputise on occasion. I can't compete with Chris in the hosting awards.
Yeah, I'm alright, despite being a fat bloke that doesn't do any exercise. I've somehow got tennis elbow on both my elbows. Oh, it's been a bit painful, but it's alright. Alright, so tonight is the V2 Football Awards 2017-2018, and you've been voting on Twitter all week. Well, yesterday, was it?
All 24 hours window.
Alright, so we're going to start with our European awards. So, European Player of the Year, the nominations were Cristiano Ronaldo, who scored 15 Champions League goals and 26 league goals. Mo Salah, got 10 Champions League goals, 10 Champions League goals and 32 league goals. Griezmann got 6 Europa League goals and 19 league goals. He scored 2 in the final. And then Eden Dzeko got 8 Champions League goals and 16 league goals. So, what do you think of the nominations?
I personally thought Dzeko had a very good season with Roma. I think, you know, he didn't really do it at City, and he's proven a lot of people wrong, and he's scored a lot of goals for Roma both this season and the previous one. You know, they kind of overachieved. Ronaldo, obviously, you know, with Real winning the Champions League, it's difficult. I think had Ronaldo had, you know, if he had scored the winning goal or scored in the Champions League final, you know, I think maybe he'd have won it. But because of that, that kind of counts against him, that Bale kind of overshadowed it.
Sadio Mane.
Yeah.
Option 5, I would choose, because actually Liverpool's very exciting run with those front three. The player who popped up with the important goals at the important moments was Mane.
Yeah.
So I would probably have gone for him as Liverpool's player ahead of Salah, but the Salah story just seems to be dominating everything at the moment, so I can see why he was the player selected. Ronaldo's goal scoring record in the Champions League is phenomenal, unarguable. Dzeko, it's funny, if they had just been dumped out by Barca and not had that comeback, of which he was a massive part of, he probably wouldn't feature on this.
No.
But it's really those two, well, that one game that's got him in here, I feel. As for Griezmann, it's the Europa League. Sorry. Yeah.
So, actually, in fourth place was 6% was Dzeko, 7% was Griezmann. So the winner, with 54%, was Mo Salah. 33% for Ronaldo.
It's just that Mo Salah story.
Yeah.
He was excellent in the Champions League, no doubt about it. But I think the more important goals, if you looked back, the goals at important times and key times came from Mane. And his importance to the team, was made clear after he went off in the final.
Yeah. You could tell in the final how Madrid relaxed once he went off as well.
Yes, they were a bit more comfortable. They just seemed to attack more. Maybe Liverpool were rattled as well.
Mm.
It did take them a long time to get over. Liverpool had a number of tests of character in that game, which I'm sure we'll touch on later.
Yeah, so we'll go on to the European Cup run of the season. So the nominees were Marseille for reaching the Europa League final, Roma for reaching the Champions League semi-finals, Liverpool for reaching the Champions League final, and Real Madrid for winning the Champions League.
Kind of similar to the Dzeko thing, really, for me, with Roma. Defying expectations. I, it's a very hard one to call. I'd probably say Real Madrid, though, purely because they've won it 3 times in a row, and that's not been seen before, even though, you know, they're all worthy candidates, I think. Marseille as well, you know. They're all worthy candidates, but for me, I'd have to say Real Madrid.
Roma had the drama, again, defined by one game, possibly, but nearly a second one because of the...
In the second leg against Liverpool, they scored about 10 minutes earlier than they did because they scored at the 89th minute or something. They also scored in the 79th minute. That could have been exciting the last 10 minutes.
The sort of comeback against Liverpool, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because it just not quite in time. Liverpool's run was probably the most thrilling, if you like, in terms of the way they played their football, but well, the team that had the best run is the team that won it, surely. So I'm with Real Madrid. They won the thing. They must have had the best run, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you sort of consider that, you know, against Bayern, they didn't play well. And was it, who was the other team? There was another team that probably didn't deserve to go through, the Juve, yeah. You know, both those games, they probably, you know, Bayern especially is the one which stands out in my game, because over the two legs, Bayern absolutely deserved to go through, but Real just found a way to win that game and got through it.
Well, yeah, look, the drama we talk about with Roma, well, Real Madrid had that. They had that in their games. They withstood a Juventus comeback where it looked like they were gone. They somehow found a way to win. This is going to be the defining, probably, phrase about Real Madrid, finding a way to win against Bayern. They got beat twice by Spurs in the group stages.
Mm.
So it's been a different sort of campaign for Real Madrid, but ultimately they've won it. They've come through and won it. So they would get my vote.
Before we announce the winners, what do you think, thoughts on Zidane quitting today?
I think it's a very shrewd move from him, actually, because as we've sort of mentioned, Real Madrid didn't, you know, they kind of had their moments of luck, and you know, La Liga, they were way off the pace. They didn't ever look like winning that. And yeah, the side sort of, it's come on another year. You know, Ronaldo and Bale, there's questions about their future. I get Bale's not been an integral part, but everyone's getting a year older, and it's sort of one side that he's had. It's not a side that's evolved much.
Yeah.
And that's kind of at an end. So I think it's quite a shrewd move from him. I think the side does need someone new, and it kind of needs a rebuild. I think shrewd is probably the word I'd use.
It was going to be a rebuilding job, wasn't it? And we can see that. Even if it may have been able to cope for another year, possibly, but the rebuild's coming. It has to be. It is an ageing squad in key positions. So, you know, he's just won 3 Champions Leagues in a row. What more is there for him to do other than rebuild and topple Barcelona? He might have done, but it's a World Cup year.
I was thinking that. Do you think he's in his head? He thinking I might take on France next?
That's probably it. That's the pattern that emerges for me. Is right, 3 Champions Leagues in a row. Deschamps is taking them forward. They're looking very good. So there's bundles of talent there. It's
a very good young French side, isn't it?
Quite fancy that. So let's see what happens after the World Cup. I could see that happening, and that might be the pathway that opens.
Yeah, I can't see it going to another club side. I just don't see it. You know, PSG is the obvious place, you'd say, but I just I don't see him moving to another club side, and I think France is the only thing I could see him doing. It obviously all depends what happens with the World Cup and, you know, how it goes for their current manager. But on paper, the French team is, you know, it's outstanding and it's full of young, talented players, which would love to play under Zidane. It just seems like the perfect match made in heaven, if you like.
You also feel he would understand those players, don't you? Because they're exciting, forward-thinking, flair footballers.
They'd have some serious respect for him as well, you know, because growing up, they'll have seen Zidane playing. I mean, yeah, they'll have seen him and, you know, what an outstanding career he had. And, you know, if they don't look up to him and have a respect for him, then there's not much hope for them to respect anyone, is there?
I spoke to a coach who works in France, and he said that the French system isn't quite as good as we think it is from the outside looking in. The reason he said that was because he felt that there is an over-reliance on the children of immigrants.
Mm.
If you look at the squad, it is the second, third generation immigrant players. Zidane is one of those. So in that way,
Is he Algerian originally?
Pardon?
I think it's Algerian, isn't he?
Originally. Yes, exactly, yeah. I was talking to someone from Algeria earlier today.
Mm.
Seemed convinced that Zidane would go for the Algeria job and not the French job.
I think he could do that eventually. I think.
I'm not sure I see that.
I could see him doing really well France and then maybe try and do some good of Algeria.
It's interesting that Arsene Wenger's the favourite for the Real Madrid job.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't see it.
not for me. But then we talked about Arsenal last week. Who's out there? Who's available? Who's out there? Who's available to do the Real Madrid? They might also wait until after the World Cup.
Hmm.
Perhaps Joachim Löw. There's a lot of talk about him not to carry on with Germany after this tournament.
Right, shall we announce the results? So our Twitter followers voted Marseille in at 4th with 5%. Roma had got 9%. Real Madrid got 37%. So our winner with 49% was Liverpool.
More than putting aside that Liverpool player and Liverpool just won the last two, do results kind of tell us that no one's really bothered about the Europa League?
Yeah.
Yeah, I say so. I think maybe if
Arsenal would have made the final, he may have had a better result.
I think it's this country. It is very snobby about the Europa League, and as I'm agreeing with something Shane said, which makes a change for me. But Shane said it a few weeks ago. He said the only reason people, you know, some of the teams care about the Europa League is because they added a Champions League if it means to an end. Yeah, I think in this country there is a lot of snobbery towards it, whereas, you know, a team like Marseille or, you know, many European teams, Atletico Madrid took it very seriously, you know, most European teams do. You know, I mean, I don't know, as an equivalent, if Man United were guaranteed top four, which Atletico Madrid were, would they be taking the Europa League seriously? I don't think so.
Well, I think Unai Emery and probably Arsenal fans at this moment are probably thinking, actually, Europa League's not that bad. Have you won it 3 times?
And I never understood why it's... Because the UEFA Cup never got this. Sweet. I remember you really enjoying the UEFA Cup back in the day.
But when there was the UEFA Cup proper...
Yeah.
Second, third, fourth didn't qualify for the Champions League. The UEFA Cup was always considered the harder one to win.
Mm.
Because really the team that was qualified as second or third was normally on the way up. So quite often teams would win the UEFA Cup and their title.
Yeah.
Their domestic title. Now, you're looking at mostly teams who finish fifth, sixth, won the domestic cup, or got kicked out of the Champions League because they finished third.
Yeah. Right, shall we move on to the first rounds on the pitch?
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Alright, so it's normal rules. 5 goes each, penalty shootout rule. So, Peter, you can go first. So, I want you to name Premier League or the Championship clubs who've scored more than 60 league goals this season. So, take it in turns. There's 16, I think.
Okay. Manchester City.
Yep, they scored 106.
Liverpool.
Yep, got 84.
Man United.
Yep, 68.
This is where you start worrying now. you kind of assume the big sides would score more than all. Spurs.
Yeah, got 74.
Wolves.
Wolves, yeah, got 82.
Yeah, that was my next one. Fulham, they're an attacking team.
Yeah, they got 79.
I'm going to take a risk on Arsenal.
Yes, they got 74.
Alright, let's complete the top teams. Let's say Chelsea.
You just about got 62. Yeah, so last go, Peter.
Wow, I'm struggling here. Let's take a punt on Cardiff.
Yes, they got 69. So 5 for Peter.
There's more games in the chat. I guess it's worth going. Alright, let's go Derby County.
Yes, they got 70. Oh, well done, 5 each. So you also could have had Villa, got 72. Brentford got 62. Bristol City got 67. What else did we say? Hull got 70. Middlesbrough.
Really? Hull got 70?
Yep.
Bloody hell.
I think they conceded. I think they conceded 70 as well. I've read somewhere.
It's not many in a 46-game season.
Middlesbrough got...
way down.
Middlesbrough got 67 and Sheffield United got 62.
Sheffield United was one I was going to go for. I feel bad, but I didn't say Brentford. apologies, work.
Right, so after the first round, you pick up 5 each. So congratulations.
Good start. Can't get any better than that. It's just going to go downhill.
Yeah, perfect so far.
Hello, this is Adam Virgo, and you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Alright, so it's time for our Premier League awards. So we'll start with the managerial awards. So Premier League Manager of the Year, we nominated Roy Hodgson for finishing 12th at Palace, despite them not winning the game till mid-October. Pep Guardiola for winning the league and winning 4 Manager of the Months back-to-back between September and December. Sean Dyche for leading Burnley to 7th place and a Europa League place. And Rafa Benitez for leading Newcastle to 10th place.
So we've got 2 managers who've been nominated for finishing 12th and 10th, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget about it. Sorry, they finished 12th and 10th. Hodgson's recovery job was brilliant.
Yeah.
Raf must have the patience of a saint, right? What Sean Dyche did was... excellent, but was that as much to do with other teams failing in a way? It's got to be Guardiola.
I think Hodgson in particular did a very good job, but you can discount Hodgson and Benitez. It's definitely Guardiola or Dyche. It's so difficult. It depends what we value, whether it's that overachievement or kind of being the best, I suppose. I'm kind of towards Dyche myself, but I'd be, I wouldn't mind either way, but I would probably say Dyche if pressed.
For me, City was so good. They played such fantastic football. They broke so many records. I have to go with Guardiola, especially with people last year going, oh, you can't do that in the Premier League. You can't do that in England. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
He's just shown it unequivocally. It would possibly, if he was to win it next year, I would maybe be even more impressed because the recent defences of the Premier League title have been terrible. So that'll be interesting to see. But for me, I've got to go with Guardiola.
I do agree they've been, fantastic to watch. But I personally, maybe I'm just... I find Burnley absolutely brilliant. Watching them and, there just feels like there's a lot more strategic and tactical now from Dyche. He's quite, I'm mincing my words a bit.
More than Guardiola?
It's a different thing. I think Guardiola's more of an idealistic, you know, get players to play his way. Sean Dyche could come up with a game plan to try and win any game. I think it's a different sort of skill set they've both got. Both fantastic managers, of course, but they're very different. And I like watching both play. I particularly like Burnley are one of my favourite teams to watch. And if they're on TV, I do make a point to watch them.
I do think they come at the game from almost the opposite end of the spectrum. Dyche going with organised, probably going with defensive organisation ahead of offensive organisation, if you want to put it that way. He's kind of all the good stuff that Pulis and Allardyce do, but actually trying to play some decent football amongst that, rather than what the Pulis and Allardyce have been criticised for. If he carries on playing in that way, good, great stuff. And I hope he does. And I hope that if he gets better players, they'll start to play a little bit more open. Not too much more open, because they'll lose their identity. And when you start doing that, then problems occur. And the job that he's done, finishing where they've been, has been great. But I would give him a very good second place.
I was going to go for Sean Dyche. I predicted Burnley would go down this season. Seventh. If we did worst predictions of the season, that'd probably be on it. So I also had Kyle Walker would flop, and he's been brilliant to sort. So I didn't do very good of our prediction show at the beginning of the season, listening back to it.
Anyone predict that Frank DeBoer would be a great success?
Just to say, though, it has been a strong year for managers. I mean, there was the four that were nominated, you know, Benitez and Roy Hodgson. You know, in another year, they might win our manager of the season. They both have very good seasons, and you know, you've got the jobs Chris Hughton's done, that David Wagner's done, keeping their sides in the Premier League, which is spectacular. You know, even David Moyes sorting out West Ham and did an all right job there. I think there's so many managers who've done decent jobs at their clubs. Jurgen with Liverpool as well.
Yeah, if you go higher up the table, so say Klopp and Pochettino have done very good jobs. If they had challenged for the title or even won it, you'd be going, wow, they would probably win the award. Mm. They've done very good jobs. There are a couple who've done pretty poor jobs.
And we'll come on to them.
which we'll mention, I'm sure. Yeah.
All right, shall we do the results then? In fourth place, 3% was Roy Hodgson, 7%. Rafa Benitez. Second place with 37% was Pep Guardiola, which means Sean Dyche, 53%, was our winner.
It's good I haven't agreed with any of our results so far, but there we go.
Is it going with, it goes with Shane's fear we have too many United fans, but then Liverpool won the last one.
Liverpool won too, yeah.
Alright, next award was the worst Premier League managerial appointment of the season. So we've got West Brom appointing Alan Pardew, Palace appointing Frank de Boer, Swansea appointing Carlos Caviar. Is that how it's pronounced? Caviar? I think he was a decent appointment to the last eight, nine games, but he didn't win a game. He seems to have got the mouse of trouble for a minute. And then Mochettino, Pellegrino.
Pellegrino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was going to ask Shane why we nominated him, but he's not here. So.
But, I wonder why.
Mm. So who do you think out of that was the worst appointment?
Oh, God. I agree. Carvajal seemed to have done fine. It just, the wheels fell off. I'm sure I seem to remember that happened to him at Wednesday, though. Getting them into a really good position and then everything just collapsing.
I think they were in a really decent position till mid-March, and then they just didn't win any of the last 8-9 games. Then they got like 2 points in the last eight.
They got two playoff finishes in a row, didn't they? And then this season was just a disaster from the start, if I remember right. I'm sure they got playoffs twice in a row, because I predicted them to get playoffs and win it this season. Maybe that's a contender for worst prediction, but I'm sure they got playoffs twice.
Yeah.
I thought he did okay, and then it just nosedive. I don't think he was the worst. Pellegrino, it was also very meh all the way through.
Mm.
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't exciting. It wasn't good. It was just bumping along, which was probably, and they're probably right. They got rid of him, and it's got to be between De Boer and Pards. Did De Boer really get a fair go, or were those five or six games just that bad that he had to go? They didn't score
for the first four games of the season and lost. I don't think they didn't win till mid October.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure. I can't remember what day when he got sacked.
It was early. Mm. It was pretty early. I would have to go with Pardew because I don't understand how he got the job in the first place.
No. When you saw what brilliant job Moore did once he took over, if he had two or three more games, they could have stayed up. Nobody predicted they'd be in any position to nearly stay up, and they nearly stayed up in the last game of the season. So.
I think De Boer was just a complete disaster for me. I'd say him, but I wouldn't have any argument if Alan Pardew won either. Carvajal was a bit unlucky in the end. He wasn't an atrocious appointment, like them two disasters. But yeah, Pellegrino, he had a long time to prove himself, and he just didn't do anything for a long time. I'm sure Shane could say in a bit more detail, but yeah, he had plenty of time to prove himself and didn't. He's sort of a slow burn, But yeah,
they managed to not score many goals with a reasonable amount of attacking talent. I think that's a fair way of summing up Pellegrino.
Yeah, so yeah, for the results then. So Carvajal and Pellegrino, they've got 4%. Frank Lebeau got 40%, which means this, I don't know, it's not really in the water, so Alan Pardew is our winner, or loser.
At least you tried.
52%.
We'll gratefully accept any award.
Do his little
dance. Well, at least we might get to see him on Sky. He's alright as a pundit. That season.
Right, so we've got our first players award then. So it was a relegated Premier League player of the season. So we've gone to J. Rodriguez, who scored 11 goals and got 2 assists. Shaqiri got 8 goals and 7 assists. Next to a keepers, Butland. These both made most saves of the season. Butland made 144 saves this season. And Fabianski got 137 saves this season.
I thought Fabianski had a terrific season myself. I thought he was genuinely up there with some of the best goalkeepers. I'd probably wouldn't be far off naming him as keeper of the season. I hope he gets a move to another Premier League club. And yeah, he would be my choice of the four.
I'm nodding along with Fabianski thinking he had a really good season. I really like Jay Rodriguez as a footballer. I think he's very technically good. He's got good pace. He's decent in the air. He should get a good move. He really should. And he's recovered from a horrible injury.
Yeah.
Shaqiri, I think, is just a very classy footballer. His problem might be his work rate when the team hasn't got the ball. But he's just a quality player. He was the biggest threat his team had all season. I'm just about going to go for Shaqiri, but it's close.
It kind of makes me think of whether he'll end up doing something similar to his old teammate Arnautovic, because Arnautovic had that, a bit of a weird season at West Ham where he struggled, and then the second half of the season he was kind of the main man for them.
Yeah.
The only thing in attack, and sort of he loved being that sort of one man team, and it absolutely suits him. Whether Shaqiri gets to move to a smallish Premier League club and ends up in a similar sort of role, I could see that happening. But yeah, Shaqiri had a good season, I thought. I'm not sure where he should go, and likewise with Jay Rodriguez. I don't know what you sort of say a good Premier, good move for him. I'm not sure.
I think if Jay Rodriguez went back to Burnley, that would be a good move.
Yeah, I was just thinking Burnley for Jay Rodriguez. Maybe Newcastle for Shaqiri.
Mm.
I could see that working in a way. Rafa using Shaqiri in the way that he used Gerrard behind the striker. But it would have to be a club where it could flow through him. I don't think he could go somewhere and be a part of the unit, I think he'd disappear. Jay Rodriguez could go, he could be a squad player somewhere pretty decent, I think. But it's just whether he wants to be that.
I think he'd get a bit of a hero's welcome back at Burnley. That's to be a good thing.
But then looking at it the other way, would he do well in the Championship, score 20, 25 goals, you know, for that West Ham team and get them a decent position? I could see that working out for him as well, potentially.
I think he potentially could be looking at England squads. That's what happened, where I think. That's where he was before the injury.
Yeah.
That's where he could be. And I don't think he's going to get that in the Championship.
He was in, like, the warm-up squads for the Euro 16, wasn't he, before he got injured? A couple of squads before that. So this was probably the closest one we've had so far. So Fabianski came fourth for 17%, then Jay Rodriguez got 19%, Butland got 27%, and then Shaqiri got 37%.
I think the voters have been a bit unkind toward Fabianski, in my humble opinion. But Shaqiri had a good season, as we've said. So yeah, I'm not so sure about Butland though. I don't think he's had that. He's obviously a great goalkeeper, and he should get a move to a decent club. You know, maybe Liverpool is some of the talk, but I don't recall him doing much impressive this season.
No, I think Fabianski had a better season than him.
Yeah,
I think so.
Just makes it sad that Butland's got 10% more than him.
Maybe some of our fans don't actually watch one. Sorry, guys.
Or maybe they just don't watch Swansea that often.
Or they just can't be bothered to watch Swansea games. And actually, you can play them.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, so our final Premier League award goes for the player of the season. So we had Mo Salah, 32 goals, 10 assists. Harry Kane, 30 goals, 2 assists. David De Gea got 19 clean sheets, and Kevin De Bruyne got 12 goals and 21 assists.
Without thinking about who's on this nomination list and why, it doesn't actually matter really, because it's Mo Salah.
Yeah. There's only two actual contenders. It's Salah and De Bruyne. The other two are just there to make up the numbers. I reckon De Bruyne. I get that Salah's probably a more integral part to Liverpool than his De Bruyne is to City, but De Bruyne's a pretty important part of a City side which has just destroyed the league. We've not seen a midfield player completely dominate the Premier League in a long time, in my era, in my watching football anyway, in the same way as this. It's almost like Xavi or Pirlo or, you know, someone like that. It was incredible. He was incredible to watch, and I'd kill to have him at United.
De Bruyne has been phenomenal, undoubtedly, and his level of consistency with his passing and his assist making is comparable to Salah's level of consistency with his goal scoring. I've said it before, the thing that I find the most remarkable is he scored these 32 goals. And he's only got one hat-trick.
Yeah.
he's just scored in game after game after game. It's been incredibly consistent, which I think is amazing. Which also tells us he could have even got more goals.
Yeah.
He could have got more still, which, well, if he repeats it, then it would be unreal. But he'd get my vote.
That's the thing, though. That's the interesting thing. You say if he repeats it, I think there still is a question. Has he just had like a one-off season, or is he genuinely a world-class player like Harry Kane, who finished second? You'd bet money that he'd score at least 20 goals next season. I wouldn't be so confident if I had my money on Salah to score, say, 20 Premier League goals next season.
And Liverpool might even slightly tweak the way that they play, and Salah might become less important to their style. That's something else to consider. Because the previous season, Mane was absolutely vital, and he's just dropped back.
Yeah.
And Salah's it could change.
Yeah. All right, shall we do the results then? So yeah, we've got a joint third here. So Kevin De Bruyne and David De Gea both got 14%. Harry Kane.
What? Okay.
Harry Kane got 21%. And then Mo Salah got 51%, so kind of ran away with that one.
Winner is fine, but
what's happened with De Bruyne. Has De Bruyne and De Gea got the same?
14% each.
I think it's probably the number of United and City fans who are voting. It must be. I can't believe Kevin De Bruyne only got, what was it, 14%?
14%.
I'm shocked. I expected Kane and De Gea to get like a couple of percent each, and I thought Salah would win, but I thought De Bruyne would push it in close, and the other two would have, you know, a few percent each.
Yeah, it's like 50, 30 to 40, and then whatever,
like each or something, yeah. Mm.
But I guess people only care about goal scorers, apparently. Look at the golden ball.
Well, De Gea won the golden glove, I suppose. I think it's, people voting for their own clubs, isn't it? All United fans are going to vote De Gea, all the Spurs fans voting for Mr. Kane and so on.
Lucky there's no Arsenal.
Well, it's not really an Arsenal player we could justify putting on the shortlist, is there?
Hi, this is Stan Collymore, and you're listening to the V2 podcast.
Alright, shall we go for the second round of Son of the Pitch? So, remember from the first round, you pick up five each. So, we're going to go the opposite way around now. So, Anthony, you go first. I want you to name clubs from the Premier League and the Championship who conceded 60 or more goals.
Okay, can I be cheeky and say Hull because you said they conceded 70 goals earlier?
Yeah.
I'm deeply impressed by that. Thank you very much. Bottom of the league, West Brom.
West Brom are not on my list, no?
How many did they concede? I don't suppose you've got that.
I haven't got it. Hand, I only got the ones that got more than 60.
Stoke.
Yes, we got 68.
Stoke, because they were dreadful defensively. Okay, I am going to go for Brentford, because I know that they are fairly even in their distribution between scoring and conceding.
No.
Apologies, work.
Sunderland, I think they probably conceded about 100 goals last season. Yeah, so yeah.
80 goals it's conceded. Right. To stay in the game.
Yeah. Ooh. Bournemouth?
Bournemouth, yeah. 61, just.
Ooh. Now, my immediate thought, this isn't my answer, but I'm thinking Burton because they've got relegated, but I think they had a reasonable defensive record. I think there was a lot of 1-0s, and I think they had a decent defensive record, so that's... swaying against that. I'm going to say Bolton because they just avoided relegation on the last day and generally had a bit of a miserable season. Bolton,
yeah, twice. And for the win, yeah, Bolton got 74. So congratulations, Anthony.
Impressed. Was Burton an answer? Or
Burton got 81, they are the worst in the...
Oh, bloody hell. Bloody hell. I just remember them grinding out a lot of wins, but then I guess they got smashed 5-6
So you could have had
I'm going to say Burton just for the fun of it. No, sorry, that's another matter.
So Barnsley got 72, Birmingham 68, Burton 81, Ipswich 60, Leeds 64, Leicester got 60, Norwich got 60, Nottingham Forest 65, QPR 70, Reading 70, Sheffield Wednesday 60, Watford got 64, and then West Ham got 68.
I don't think we'd have guessed any of them Premier Leagues. Like Leicester, definitely not.
Leicester was one I had in my mind. I thought they were a bit iffy. But,
yeah, they just made it. I nearly made it 60
plus.
I suppose
Watford and West Ham did get a couple of poundings off City, which never helps. I bow to the taking up the cheeky hole answer.
Alright, shall we rush through these last couple then, because we're coming up to 10 o'clock. Alright, so we're going to finish what we've done. So we've got best domestic cup run of the season. So we've done Wigan for reaching the quarterfinals before they lost to Southampton 2-0. Rochdale for reaching the fifth round of the FA Cup and taking Spurs to a replay. Bristol City for beating United and running City close in the semi-finals of the League Cup. and Lincoln City winning the EFL trophy. It's the first time they've reached Wembley in their 133-year history.
So. My personal feeling, Bristol City, because they knocked out United and were one of the, at the time, you know, they were the only side to really push City and have a go at them, and came very close to knocking them out.
Two very good games against City as well.
So for that, I would say Bristol City. However, you know, Lincoln, I wouldn't have any arguments if they won. Wigan, I could see Wigan winning this vote for sort of, you know, romantic reasons because of, you know, what happened a couple of years ago. And Rochdale was a nice little run, but it doesn't compete with the others. Bristol City for me.
Rochdale's quite enjoyable.
Yeah. They didn't get smashed 6-1 in the replay.
But I quite like that in a way. The plucky underdog suddenly gets put in its place. I rather like that. I would probably go for Bristol City. Much of what has just been said, they were the first team that made people go, oh, actually, you can do okay against this City side, this Man City side. I'd go for Bristol City.
All right, so in fourth place was Lincoln with 17%. Fourth place was Rochdale, 16%. Then it was Lincoln with 17%. Bristol City came second with 28%, and so winners were Wigan with 39%. Congratulations, Wigan. Next up was, which retirement is the saddest? We've got Carrick, Buffon, Iniesta, or Pirlo.
I'll say Carrick, but I'm biased, I'd like to sort of abstain from this one.
None of them. It's just a retirement. Why is it sad? Playing careers come to an end, and that's what has to happen. Otherwise, we'll have people doing Stanley matches constantly. Who will I miss watching play the most? I really enjoyed watching Pirlo play, but I've made this comment before. I kind of forgot that he was still playing because he'd gone to the MLS.
Yeah,
it's like he already retired, and we already had those platitudes handed out. And is Iniesta actually retired?
He's moved to Japan, hasn't he?
So in that case, Pirlo already retired as well. So the only two players who've actually retired here are Carrick and Buffon.
Has Buffon retired? Has he just retired from international?
He's not confirmed what he's doing.
Because there's rumours he's going to Paris, wasn't
it? It's likely he's retired, but he's not.
Actually, then, the only player who's retired is Carrick. Pirlo's
a part of the award system, man. I don't like it.
I loved watching Pirlo play.
Yeah.
Seeing him no longer playing football, wherever that may be, I would love to Pirlo to still be playing. If Iniesta had actually retired, then I'd probably have gone for him. But for me, Pirlo.
Yeah, so Pirlo got 12%, Carrick got 22%, Iniesta got 32%, and Buffon got 34%.
It was actually quite sad watching him still play.
Yeah.
Because you could see he was not the great goalkeeper he once was. There were shots that he should have got to, really, that he didn't anymore. So it's sad. It's not that sad because it's the rat. It's your poor, ill pet dog. You'd love to carry on, but you just got to take him to the vet.
There's the title of this week's show. How much do you think with Buffon it'll be remembered for him having a go at Michael Oliver and that crazy, appeal against the decision? Almost like Zidane and Materazzi. It's not quite that iconic, but. We'll remember that when we talk about Buffon in 5-10 years.
So. I think a lot of people will forget it. I actually do.
Alright, shall we move on to the what the fudge moment of the season? So we've got Harry Kane's goal stealer, the De Boer debacle. We got Karius's effort, Champions League nightmare, and then Burnley making the Europa League.
I have never seen anything like Karius in a final of that significance. I was going to say ever, but I'm
sure. I've seen some terrible pieces of goalkeeping.
Has his terrible display taken away from people will remember the Bale goal?
I thought it might have, but actually I don't think so. If we didn't live in an era of video and GIF and all that social media stuff where the goal was just... I saw more of the goal than I did of the mistakes.
Yeah.
So I don't think it will, although I did fear that might be the case. But people won't forget Karius. Liverpool fans won't forget Karius. He's cemented his legacy.
Yeah. United fans won't forget Karius either.
No, I
think Karius has got to win that, surely.
He did win that. He got 56% of the votes. No point going for the rest of them. He got...
And it really was, and the reaction genuinely was WTF.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny seeing Harry Kane steal them goals, though, and, well, I say steal with the Ericsson, and just generally things not going for him with the FA taking the piss out of him with Chris Smalling, and yeah.
For a moment then, I thought you were going to say it was pretty funny seeing Harry Kane stealing those Champions League final goals. I thought, oh, we're not going there.
Right, so we finish on the poll that got the most votes, and probably our closest poll, as worst pundit of the season. So you had Garth Crooks, Robbie Savage, Chris Sutton, and quite harshly, I think, Glenn Hoddle.
I'm just glad Anthony Kendrick's not on the list. I personally nominated Garth Crooks. He just winds me up. I'm not a fan of Glenn Hoddle, but I don't think he's atrocious or anything, so I personally wouldn't have picked him. And I don't know, Robbie Savage he's a bit of a dick, but he's not malicious. Chris Sutton's
miserable. Chris Sutton.
I don't like Chris Sutton is quite obviously. I don't know how much bad language we want on this show, but Chris Sutton's not. He's quite clearly a bit malicious, I think, at times. Mm. I'd say Garth Crooks. He just irritates me.
I don't think Hoddle's great in the commentary box.
No,
that's probably what he's been put on here. He's not brilliant in the commentary. When he's in the studio, I think he's pretty decent. He's not going to get my vote. Garth Crooks, if I make the mistake of trying to read his teams of the week, I need to use Google Translate.
Yeah.
Because I just have no idea what he's going on about.
A couple of years ago, we did put the most dodgy Garth Crooks 11 decision in there. One where he went 6 up front 1 week, and you're like, no, that's not how you do it. You have to pick two strikers or 3 strikers. You can't pick 6 strikers because 6 strikers had a good week.
And the fact that he talks in these bizarre circles, just going looping sentences round and round each other, it's very... He'd probably get you off the most incomprehensible pundit. Savage, I kind of agree. Savage clearly rates himself very highly, but he can be a bit caveman in his opinions. I don't see what Sutton has of any value in any way whatsoever, and he is highly likely to make me turn things off or select a different channel. So Sutton gets it for me.
Yeah. So in last place, 17% was Glenn Hoddle. Third place, with 26%, was Robbie Savage. Second place, 28% was Garth Crooks, and 29% Chris Sutton. That must have been just with seconds to go, because I sent a message to Anthony going, because it was a draw, it was 28% each between Crooks and Sutton. But then when I looked back seconds later, it went to 29%. So somebody must have got that last vote in.
It's an extremely close poll. Maybe we should write an article analysing each pundit. It's kind of different, isn't it? Because Garth Crooks, no one understands. Like Peter says, he's most incomprehensible. But then I think he's genuinely quite malicious. He comes
unpleasant with his manner, his way of speaking. He's got an Adrian Durham-like sneer to what he says to other people.
Yeah, it's just, no, where's the, how's he, I always think the job of a pundit is to try and point out the things that I miss.
Yeah.
And educate me. It was one of the reasons I had a problem with Ian Wright for a long time, because it was just bluster, but he's massively improved, I think. Sutton doesn't. What does he teach me? What does he try and show me? That he knows more than other people, and that he should be respected, so listen to me, or I'm going to look down my nose at you.
I think Shearer's a good example of what you're saying with Ian Wright as well. I think Shearer's improved a lot.
I'm going to miss Frank Lampard next season, because he's going to be a Derby, because I thought he's been really good this season.
Yeah, I think he has. I like Jermaine Jonas as a pundit as well.
He's growing on me.
I think he's pretty good. Danny Murphy has his moments.
Yeah.
I think there's a decent crop out there, but there's so many pundits now. It's just, there's pundits wherever you look. Whereas before, you only maybe had half a dozen.
Yeah.
Now they're all over the place.
Ex-Liverpool
That's
players.
The thing. Because there's so many, if someone's not so good, they'll just get replaced quite quickly. It's like, you know, unless you're someone like Robbie Savage, who is kind of almost a likeable idiot in a way, you know, he gets a lot of eyeballs on him, even though what he said is often nonsense. and people like to see Sutton because he's such a knob. You know, because there's so many, they've got to be decent pundits, so they just get replaced.
I think you've got to give a lot of credit to BT's Champions League coverage, or even their Saturday Night Football coverage, because Lampard's Gerard Ferdinand has been excellent.
Yeah.
Really has been. They've offered genuine insight, and they've done that thing that I think pundits should do, and tell us things that we don't necessarily already know.
A bit of a left field choice. One of my favourite pundits, often on ITV, Gordon Strachan.
I've not seen him before.
He often does the Champions League highlights, but he kind of, because he's got so much experience as a manager, he often comes into it with kind of a different way of looking at things, and kind of, you know, like tactically, and kind of understanding sort of the dark arts and tactics, you know, behind it. I find him he's very different to watch to almost every other pundit who's a former player. I like watching him. Maybe we should have a pundit award as well.
Yeah.
Someone who could have been on this worst pundit list, Roy Keane. Talk about Sutton just being unpleasant, and Roy Keane's act has kind of worn thin, and it's just got very nasty, I think.
I was going to say, I agree with you. I think the only difference between Keane and Sutton is Keane at least did it as a player, and he was, you know, a very good player and has a lot of respect from United fans. I'm kind of agreeing with you.
But again, there's pundits everywhere. I mean, we could also have looked at the non-playing pundits, but because you've got people like Marcotti and Honigstein and all these guys who generally are pretty good coming out from a different standpoint, but it's a bit late to restructure the awards now.
Shall we leave it there? So we're coming up to the hour. So thank you for everyone who voted in the awards and listened to us this season. So thanks for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter. It's at V2 Sport Network now. We've changed from V2 Football. And you can check our website, v2football.com. And good night from Peter. Good night from Anthony. Good night.
Night.